Today's first scripture reading comes from Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. The second verse comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, as we have heard your word read, Lord, may it be more than just words on a page or sounds in the air. May it be your word spoken to us, taking root in our hearts, growing us to know more about who you are and the love you have for each of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, here it is. It is December 9th. I don't want to alarm you, but that means there are only 15 more shopping days until Christmas. Just 2 weeks. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, I'm hearing some nervous laughter, right? Have you begun? Let me ask that. Have you begun? Right? Anyone here having family or friends coming to visit anytime this season? Anybody? Few hands? Yeah. Are you ready? Have you started cleaning the house yet? How about travel plans? Anyone going to visit family or friends? Yeah, there's some hands. Have you lined up who's going to collect your mail or take care of your pets while you're away? Are you ready? Everywhere we look this time of year, there's reminders that there is a lot to prepare for, right? There's presents to buy or to make. There's decorations to get together and put up. There are cards to send out, parties to prepare for. There are meals to plan, guest rooms to get ready, travel plans. Christmas takes a lot of preparation, doesn't it? And it takes a lot of preparation because, well, things are going on that are not normal. Right? We're buying gifts for our whole list of friends and family all at once. We're baking untold dozens of cookies. We're listening to music that we never listen to the rest of the year. We're waiting in line for our kids to have their pictures taken with some strange guy dressed in a funny red suit. Weird stuff is going on. We take perfectly good trees that are probably very content outside. And we cut them down, and we drag them inside, and then we put them back up and try to keep them alive for the next month. That's weird. Or if you don't want to do that, you buy a fake tree and put it up, also it looks like you decided to take a tree or plant it right there in your living room, right? And the lights. During this time of year, we suddenly decide to put more lights outside of the house than inside, right? It's almost as if during this month, everything is getting flipped upside down and backwards. Trees come into the living room and lights go out into the front yard. This is a weird time of year. Strange things are going on, and it takes some serious preparation. And if you're like most people, even though you know it's coming, and it's coming at the same time, on the same day, every single year, boy, you never really feel prepared, do you? This is the second Sunday of Advent, the season leading up to Christmas and our celebration of the birth of Christ. Last week, we began exploring this season a little bit through some scripture that called us to look at this time in the church's calendar through the lens of waiting and listening, right? Listening to the longing in the world and in our own lives. Waiting for God, maybe waiting with God. Waiting as this way to be reminded of our dependence upon God. And this Sunday, our scripture passages call us to look at the season through the lens of getting ready, of preparing. Excuse me. In our passage from Malachi, which is a prophetic book at the very end of the Old Testament, in fact, it's actually the last book of the Old Testament, from something like 400 to 500 years before the birth of Christ. And Malachi speaks of a messenger. In fact, the word Malachi, as we said with the children, the word Malachi means my messenger. And so Bible scholars, just a little bit of trivia here this morning, Bible scholars are divided on whether Malachi is the actual name of this prophet, or if it's just a description of an anonymous prophet sent by God as the messenger. But either way, this messenger from 400 to 500 years before the birth of Christ, this messenger was sent to speak of a later messenger who will come to prepare the way for the Lord. See, he says, see. And that's that word we talked a little bit last week, the Hebrew word hine, sometimes translated as see or look, or behold. But what it really means, if you remember, is something more like sit up. You need to pay attention to what's coming next because something profound is about to be spoken and break into this world to disrupt life as usual. And by the way, this word and its Greek equivalent, idu, they show up all over the place in our most familiar passages of the season. People are constantly saying, look, behold, see. That word pops up all over the place because strange things are afoot. And so Malachi, behold, hine, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way. And so our passage from Luke jumps us right in with that messenger. We're in the third chapter of Luke with our passage this morning, but the first two chapters, they alternate between Luke telling about the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. Because John is that long-awaited messenger who has come to prepare the way for the Lord, that long-awaited Messiah. When we get to chapter 3, John is around the Jordan River proclaiming that the time has finally come. It's time for final preparations. These are hope-filled passages, proclamations of the covenant between God and us being restored, of offerings of righteousness, and ultimately of all flesh seeing the salvation of God. Big, out of the ordinary stuff is going on. But with that, maybe even because of that, there's also, when you read these passages, there's probably some apprehension here too. Because Malachi asks, but who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. Now, I had to look up what in the world fuller's soap is. Does anybody know what it is? Yeah, it turns out fuller soap, it's not a gentle on your hands and face ivory or dove kind of soap. No, it is a deep, harsh, bleaching kind of soap, the kind you reserve for only the most persistent and deeply embedded stains. And John the Baptist, in his proclamation of salvation, he's going around telling everyone that because of what's going on, we need to repent. to turn around, to have our very understanding of everything reversed. Within the hope and the promise, there's also this sense that something so big and so out of the ordinary is going on. We might even say something so weird and strange is going on. Normal life is getting flipped on its head, so that, of course, it takes some serious preparation. And we are being called to prepare for it. To prepare for something, it seems, that we are just not quite ready for in and of ourselves. And notice how our passage from Luke begins. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Luke, the good historian that he is following the conventions of the time to let us know when, historically speaking, this was happening. And so he frames it out by letting us know who was in charge, who the big players on the world stage were at the time. So we know that what Luke is talking about here happened a little before 30 AD. But Luke is doing even more than that. He's pointing out that the salvation of God, the salvation that is big enough and grand enough to extend to all flesh, it comes from outside and it has to break in, coming in the most unexpected way. This word of God doesn't come through the halls of power or even from the religious institutions. It doesn't come to or from the kings and authorities that make all the waves in human history. He mentions them, but then he goes on somewhere else. The word of God comes to a wild-eyed, slightly eccentric, unknown man named John, who's just hanging out in the wilderness, fulfilling that prophecy from all those centuries ago. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Right there, square in the middle of the comings and goings of ordinary everyday history, prophetic history, salvation history comes bursting in. These two worlds are suddenly coming together. Now they are profoundly bound together. The ordinary flow of history and life as usual with its world of politics, society, and religion is now bound up with this almost otherworldly flow and sense of time and space that the prophets seem to live in. Heaven and earth are on a collision course. Because suddenly, Luke points out to us in these few verses that point to which all of salvation history has been moving. Those proclamations of the prophets from all those years before that so often seem to speak in these grand, abstract, super spiritual, and maybe even sometimes obscure, enigmatic language. That world of God and his covenant, his prophets and priests with their sacrifices and forgiveness, and of a Messiah coming down from heaven. That world of salvation history has now run headlong into the ordinary flow of normal, everyday human history. Truly, this is a strange time of year, and so is it any wonder that it comes with a call to prepare? In fact, by comparison to all of this, dragging a tree into your living room and putting all your best lights outside in the yard seems an entirely normal and reasonable thing to do. We know how to prepare for the Christmas with all the gifts and parties and cookies and decorations. How do you prepare for the Christmas with God showing up in the flesh and the joining together of salvation history and human history, of the timelessness of God coming into the confines of our days and weeks and years? And so, of course, it would be easy just to focus on preparing for the kind of Christmas that we know how to prepare for and ignore preparations for this other Christmas. But that's why this season of Advent won't let us rush there too quickly. But it asks us to wait a little bit and prepare. And so last week we talked about longing and the waiting that comes with it. That type of lifting up your heads and opening your eyes and ears, expectant waiting. It's a waiting that invites us to sit up and pay attention. And this week, these passages help us focus a bit on what that expectant waiting might very well entail. They call us not just to tidy up a bit, but they call us to a total house cleaning. The type of preparing you do when you are expecting not just any old visitor, but the most important and surprising visitor you could imagine. And the word John uses for that is the word repentance. Because this word repent doesn't just mean feeling bad about something. It's much more than that. It comes from a Greek word, metanoia, that means a changing of your mind. But your mind here, it isn't just the purely intellectual part of you, separate from everything else. No, it's about that thing that encapsulates all of who you are. And so what this word really means is a turning of your life around. Or maybe even better, it means the beginnings of a reorientation of your life. Reorienting not around the normal, everyday comings and goings and political and social powers, or even around the institutions of religion, as wonderful and good as they may be, but around the very fact that into those normal, everyday comings and goings, something unprecedented and strange has happened. Heaven and all its righteousness, the very goodness and grace and the weightiness of God's glory has come. Not just to visit for a weekend, but to move on in, taking up residence right here with us. And so faced with this, Malachi rightly asks, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? Because he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify. And Luke, quoting Isaiah, every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill made low, and the crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth. This sounds intense, and it is. But notice that John doesn't go around requesting a baptism of repentance so that valleys may be filled and mountains and hills humbled and crooked and rough paths made straight and smooth. He's not requesting it. He's proclaiming it. He's proclaiming that there is a baptism of repentance and that the valleys will be filled and the mountains will be humbled and the crooked and rough paths shall be made straight and smooth. And Malachi, he doesn't follow those rhetorical questions about who can endure and who can stand. He doesn't follow them with a resigned hopelessness. No, he follows them with a promise and a hope. Who can stand and who can endure? Not us, but the coming Lord is like a refiner of silver who does the work of purifying and refining what needs purifying and refining, making it so the silver will endure and will no doubt shine, reflecting, perhaps, even the very image of the refiner himself. And so here, at the close of the 19th year of the second millennium since all this happened, when Donald Trump was president and it was the fourth decade of the ministry of Calvin Presbyterian Church, the same word of God comes to us, calling each of us and all of us to prepare, to repent and prepare the way. Here, as prophetic salvation history has run headlong into all our normal everyday histories, here, on the 343rd day of the year, In the midst of 24-hour news cycles and Christmas preparations, here today, tomorrow, and throughout the progression of calendars and election cycles, seasons and anniversaries, in the middle of it all, the Word of God has come to us, has come to you, asking us, inviting us, calling us to prepare. What in you, what in me needs refining or a good old deep scrubbing? What in us needs filling or leveling out? Where is the crooked and the rough that needs a bit of straightening and smoothing? And where do you, not just all flesh, but you, in your days and weeks and years, need to see the salvation of God? We are called to prepare, because if this season reminds us of anything, it's that there are no ordinary moments. We are called to prepare because every moment is a time for the dingy, dirty, worn and worn out to be refined and cleansed and made new. Suddenly, perhaps, reflecting and radiating the grace and goodness of God. All because the Word of God has come in the flesh, that indeed all flesh may see the salvation of God. And so in the midst of final preparations, of shopping lists, and lights, and trees, as we prepare our guest rooms or make our travel plans, let us not miss the opportunity to take part in all the ways God may be breaking into the world and into our lives. Let us be a people of preparation, of hopeful, grace-filled preparation. Let's pray. Lord, that you come and enter into this world in all its ups and downs, indeed in all its ordinariness. For that, Lord, we give you thanks that you have not left us to ourselves, but you have come that we may be refined and purified, that we may be filled and leveled, made smooth, and that you may straighten out our crooked ways and paths. Lord, help us to be a people not just of preparation for the holidays, but preparation for the holy days. These days that are holy and made holy because you have come and united yourself to us. And Lord, may we see your salvation. In Christ's name, amen.